following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland, from the home office in Memphis, Tennessee. Memphis. The great city that is on the river, the sister city to Memphis, Egypt. Maybe you didn't think of it, but that's kind of what it is. It's an interesting city, that's for sure. An interesting business in an interesting city, as to paraphrase a friend of mine that would say something along those lines. But nevertheless, we're here with another exciting episode. I'm going to be brief right here at this particular time because we've got a big show for you. If you look at the running time on the show, you'll see what I'm talking about. And the reason why this is a big one, this has to do with a couple of legendary musicians that came into our studios. And we were on the air for the Booze and Blues show. We had listeners literally from all over the world for it. And I know that there were some that may not have had a chance to catch it. And we wanted to put this up there for you in an on-demand fashion. And we thought, well, just this is perfect for this show. So we're going to do it, as we have often done, by putting stuff from Radioland in that category. Because we do know that sometimes that, you know, you don't get a chance to get through it. But, you know, episode 214 is here. And we're gonna just jump right on into it here pretty quick. So there is that. So here's what's coming up. Trenton Ayers, who is the son of Little Joe Ayers, and Cedric Burnside, who is the grandson of R.L. Burnside. In the past, they have put out, those two guys have worked together for a while. They have put out some fantastic music over the years. They had an album out just recently that was Grammy nominated called The Descendants of Hill Country. Just a tremendous record. If you don't have it, I suggest you get it. It is the Cedric Burnside Project is what it's called. Descendants of Hill Country is the name of the album. Go add that to your collection. And here in just a little while, you're going to hear a conversation and some new music from these guys that is coming out. This is going to be kind of an exclusive. If you missed the show when it aired originally, we have it here for you. You're going to get a chance to hear about four brand new tracks that have come from the studio. And this is an exclusive. So, after Radio Memphis, of course, but this show kind of comes from that as well. So there it is, right? We'll get to it in just a matter of moments. Trenton Ayers and Cedric Burnside from Radioland next.
Keep calm and haunt on with Historical Haunts, Memphis Haunted Tour Company. Ancient burial mounds, yellow fever, maritime disasters, Victorian murders, and ghost stories are all a part of the Memphis dark history. Join Historical Haunts for a spirited night out on the Haunted Memphis Bus Tour, Haunted Pub Crawl, the Woodruff Fontaine House Ghost Tour, or one of our other spooky tours and events. Check out our website for all of the exciting ghost tours and ghost haunts at historicalhauntsmemphis.com.
Tonight, we have a really, really fun show lined up for you kids. There were a bunch of folks tuned in from all over. A little bit later on, Cedric Burnside will be here, but I guess one of his brothers in arms, Mr. Trenton Ayers, is here in the room. How you doing, my friend?
Good.
Glad to have you on here, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's been a little while since you've been down here.
Yeah.
I don't know that you did a radio show here, mm-hmm. but I think you recorded some stuff down here, didn't you? Did you?
I may have.
You may have. That's what Cedric said. He came down here and he goes, man, this looks real familiar to me. Of course, he and his grandfather did the Mr. Wizard record here.
Mm. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, they recorded down here.
Yeah, they did. And Trenton brought some new music here, and we're going to play a tune from the stuff because it's not all fully protected and whatnot. You know?
Oh, this is like a stay here before you can see.
Yeah, we have like a base, literally a basement tape.
Nice.
So, are you doing good? You playing a lot? You working? What's your deal there?
I'm keeping busy, I'll tell you that. I've just been doing a lot of outside the music type of stuff, heading into filming and towards the new avenues of things going to be happening. So, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
fun.
So what kind of filming? What are you doing?
Got a friend of mine that's from the Delta. He's from Hollandale. Matter of fact, that's where this demo was made at.
Yeah.
And he's in the film industry himself. His name is Joshua Browning. And first thing we're going to do a comedy little show. You know, it's going to be called Down and Out in Mississippi. And, you know, went down there. I did the music on that for the intro right quick. You know, then we going to pull out a comic book series. Then we going to also do a movie out to after that. And then we going to do a movie called God Dang Devil Demons.
Huh.
And it's going to be a comedy horror. So, you know.
Comedy horror. That'll be fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know.
So you're branching out.
That's perfect.
I'm really branching out. And I'm going to be doing the scoring and the sound editing and all that
oh,
stuff.
Oh, wow.
And,
yeah.
So I'm really taking a Martin Offen role into this.
You know? Oh, yeah.
Doing a lot of touring now. I'm like, okay, give me some. I always wanted to do some like movie production anyway, you know.
Right.
You know, so this is a great opportunity for this.
Scoring is it's an art in and of itself, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
So what do they give you, like some footage, and then they say make some music fit this? Is that how that works?
That and you know, you can also get the script, which, you know, one thing we not finished because I'm also, you know, helping them come up with some of the dialogue to this stuff. So
yeah.
So it's kind of like you can get, you know, in the sound booth and you can listen to the, you know, things you have available to you. Then you can say, put this here, put that there. And you can also, you know, come up, because one of the things he going to ask me to do is play some of this stuff. Like, he have an idea for me to play some of this classical music against an organ.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm like, okay then.
Okay.
Yeah, I got that.
It's your deal, man.
Exactly.
It's your nickel.
So I'm like, okay, cool. All right.
So, that's not challenging at all.
Which is like, thank God I brought, you know, a Schecter, and, you know, that's going to be kind of easy to do because, you know, I always, thank God, I'm up that musical family, because, you know, my mother's side of the family, they always encouraged me to listen to classical music anyway.
Right, right.
So it's like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's like somebody else gonna be like, oh no, but I'm kind of like, yeah, let's try it. You know, so
yeah,
it's a challenge, but I'm gonna take care of it.
Your dad was Little Joe, right?
He is Little Joe.
He is Little Joe. Yeah. My apologies. I know. He is Little Joe. You, how much of your playing is anything like your father?
How much do I play with?
Like your style? I mean, you must have pulled something out of that, right?
When I want to. But I mean,
when I want to. I love this guy. He's awesome.
I know. But for real, though, because, you know, playing with him is like a friend of mine. He's my friend, a jester. He know my playing real well. And he was at the house. And I'm playing with my father. And playing with my father is a totally different. Like, I can go pretty much play with a lot of people and don't have to think twice about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Not with my father, and I've been playing with him ever since the age of six. Well, I did my first show with him at the age of six. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Playing some Hill Country Blues at six.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow. So,
yeah.
That's so impressive, yeah.
Oh, well, thank you. And
now you know why he's so good.
Because the finger, yeah. you're a finger picker, right?
Yeah.
All depending. Like I said, when I want to, because here lately, a lot of people say, wow, you've been into shredding lately. So, and there's another style of me that's, you know.
There's a part of you that
did.
Because there comes a point when you're going to learn from your dad. And then you kind of break off a little bit. But your roots always still go back to your family.
Oh, no, it does. It does. Because now, like, you talk about my dad, then I also had to have a mother, too.
Yes.
And my mother is my biggest influence in my life.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, she's the one that's kind of like, okay, okay, this is how this thing works. So if you want to play guitar, you know, you're going to learn how to play ragtime, hear country blues, and easy listening.
So she was kind of hard on you then.
Well, easy listening was a requirement.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's an audio wallpaper.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
But I think...
It's what it is, you know.
I mean, I thank God for that because I used to sit down and play with the Rattle Channel, but at the end of the day, I could go sit down on Bourbon Street and play jazz too now.
Yeah.
You know,
so. It's funny you mentioned the Weather Channel because when they would take those every 10 minutes, that local break, mm-hmm. there's that really funky jazz or some progressive type of rock that was kind of happening there.
And yeah.
So you would sit there and play with that
stuff?
How awesome is that? That is so cool. I never thought of that, but that's awesome, yeah.
I mean, then there's my brother, Tracy Davis, and he's the musical genius of the family. Well, I can perform, he can, like, produce. I mean, he's the studio type.
He's kind of a studio rat, dude. He likes to play with the knobs and...
Yeah, he's the prince of the family.
Yeah.
Yeah, then my sister, you know, my mother had a punk, like, she only had three children, but I'm like Jimi Hendrix, my brother Prince, and my sister could move like Michael Jackson.
Right.
And
right.
So she had three talented children, and you know, going on, you know, so.
Did the three of y'all ever work together?
No, because I
y'all to kill each other, right?
No.
I kid.
No, we get along real good because this track that y'all gonna hear tonight, after tonight, me and my brother gonna come back and he gonna be like, okay, this is what it is, but let's take it to this height right here. So the next time y'all hear this, it gonna be something totally different because I know he gonna have, okay, Trent, he don't play guitar no more, but he gonna be like, okay, Trent, play this guitar line like this right here, but you got to syncopate it on this right here, on this quarter note right here. Okay, gotcha. And we gonna go from there, and you know, he gonna turn this track from a sizzling track to a like a lava track. So,
well, I tell you what, then let me grab a break here, Trenton, and we'll play it. And what is this track that you gave me?
It's a song that I was I think I was in Europe, and tell you a quick story about how I composed it. And I was just, you know, sitting there in Europe somewhere, me and Cedric was, and, you know, a lot of times that's when I do a lot of my composing.
Right.
And because you see different things, and seeing different things, meet new people, open up your mind, and it gets your blood to working for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so mm-hmm. I just had one of them, Jimi Hendrix, Ren Cries Mary, and I was feeling that way. I tried to kind of like, you know, kind of like give you that feeling, but you know, everybody, my friend called it a classic soul, so that's the name of this title right now. Just right now, for right now,
it's
called
it's a working soul. Title, Classic Soul.
Yeah,
okay. We ran into a little technical problem, as happens, but we've solved it because you know, because Jeff is good like that.
You know, and what they say, Rick.
What do they say?
Once you go Mac, you'll never go back.
Oh my God. Oh. She's right. I've been over here dealing with this Windows machine, and I have a Chromebook, and then what I use at the home studio is a Linux machine. So yeah. I'm very versed in all of it. But I don't have any Mac except for my iPhone. You know, because they seem to have gotten it right. I guess.
That's what they on Mac.
Yeah. So.
My battery dies after like 4 hours.
Oh, I know. It's the whole battery thing. It's a pain in the balls.
It's hard to like sit here and espouse the praises of Apple when
the battery dies before you can get the word out. Yes, I get it. Trent Nares is here. Cedric Burnside is allegedly going to be around after a while. We're not sure. We're just kind of holding out for that. We're saying some prayers, lighting a candle. Something's going to happen. But Trenton did bring a track, and as we tried to get our shit together, we figured out a way to get it on the air. So and you have, and this is it's the working title is Classic Soul Music, right?
Right.
Yeah. And it's tell me about it. Where did it come from? Where this idea was?
Well, like I said, I was in, Cedric and I was in Europe, and I was feeling a certain way. You know, what us young people say, I was in my feelings.
You were in your feelings,
and, huh? Yeah, and I just grabbed my guitar, and I just composed it, and I was, like, really trying to push it in a certain direction, and, you know, hopefully it got there. But, you know, everybody got their own choice of how they perceive music, you know. And I might, right now it's an instrumental, but, you know, I might put some lyrics to it, I might not, you know.
So, yeah. Kind of see how it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, as a songwriter, we've talked about this before with other artists, is that when you put something out there, it grows, it matures. You know, you might have what feels like a hit tune that you've laid down onto the record, and then you go out and you take it out on the road 6 months, 7 months later, it turns into something completely different, and then there's that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so you're playing with a little bit. Well, then, have you got the tune ready over there, Joe?
Yeah, you ready to go?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Thank you.
How about that? Yeah, there it is. Sweet. Yeah, that is nice. Yeah, I hear some Hendrix in that.
No, there we go. Let me kill that.
No, it's done. It's done. Y'all erase that. We'll fix it in post. It's live radio. Whatever. You know, I learned and I'm ashamed to admit this, that there was a point when, and I don't know if you told me this, Emerson, Lake and Palmer originally was going to be called Help. It wasn't you. It was Hendrix, Emerson, Lake and Palmer. There was a point there where Jimi Hendrix was going to join that progressive rock group with his, because he was getting away from, right before he died, he was wanting to get away from the rock that he was doing, a lot of blues, obviously, but he was wanting to get more into jazz. And some of the stuff like what you were doing here with that track, I'm hearing that because obviously Hendrix was an influence to you, Trent.
Yeah, you can ask my brother.
I mean, it was such a short life with him, and so few records that came out of that. But you could hear that there was this turn that it was going to be what he was doing, and I love that you're doing that. I think that's awesome. I think it's, you know, and I'm sure your dad's like, what the hell are you doing, son?
I better show him. I'll pay for my bill.
What's all this?
What's all this?
What's all this on there?
But on the same thing, though, on this, I got some, like I said, I got a little bit of something for everybody. I got some old school stuff. I got stuff like that. I got a little bit of 80s rock out there. I got a little bit of everything.
You probably got some 90s speed metal in you, I'm thinking, if we really pushed you.
Yeah,
there he is. Yeah, give me about five minutes. I'll work something up for you.
A little dubstep.
A little dubstep.
One of the tracks on that thing got some little bit of rap on there, so, you know. Nah, I'm not doing no rapping.
Oh, I will.
But.
There's a thing here in Memphis. I don't know, Cedric. You would know this. That there's this two-tone thing, you know, and it happens all over the country. I mean, you have like Tejano music, you know, the Mexican ranch music that's being matched up to metal, and you're having like what was done with your grandfather. You had his blues that were put into dubstep the house music and all that stuff. So there is a thing for this. I mean, you can incorporate rap into what you're doing if you really wanted to go that route. I mean, you're the artist.
The crazy thing about all this is the doom was, you know.
You can incorporate whatever you want to into your music.
Yeah.
My favorite is Auctioneer Beats. Have you seen that?
Yes, I have.
You know what I'm talking about? The YouTube videos.
Guys that are selling cattle.
It's like from like cattle auctions where the guys go, what about? And they just take a beat, they'll take some.
Because the guy's got a rhythm to it,
yeah. They'll just drop in a hip hop beat. Hang on, I'm going to pull some out.
Sold to the highest bidder. Sold.
That's how every song ends. Sold to the high bidder.
Oh, well, god dang. I
need to check that out. Hang on, I'm still plugged in. Can we play this in real quick?
Oh, yeah, I've got you.
That right there, I got the hit. What about it?
All right, well, Hank. You've got some there.
Pulling it up now.
Oh, come on, give me something good here. All right.
Did I get that damn bill?
Yeah, we got.
Wondering what? Oh, of course, there's an ad.
We'll mute that. I have 2 seconds before I can skip it. All right, cool.
Oh, he's showing his.
Oh, man. I could watch these for hours. Are we just about the rest of the show to this?
Yeah, no, we're not. No, that's not happening. I'm not going to disrespect these two artists in here with that.
It does have to be seen.
But it bears mentioning.
It works.
It does work. Yeah.
It got me laughing.
that may not be their intention, but you know, such
I put it like this right here. If that's not their intention,
that's my first time ever hearing that, man. First time.
All right,
Cedric's reading.
Let's have a debate.
Cedric just choked.
All right, hold on. Let's have a debate. All right, now what? Now can we consider that
a chainsaw with some beats like that?
Cedric, wait a minute. Don't. Cedric, wait a minute. We say that. Y'all see why I like working with this man?
I see. Yeah, I do.
Okay. Imagine 13 hours coming back from New York in a van, driving this guy right here.
And this happens. Hey, man, I got an idea.
I know.
This That's where it all idea. Starts. Yeah.
Man. Cedric is a genius, though.
That's crazy. Gentlemen, I want to take a break. We'll come back. We'll kind of get set up. We got some drums over there for you. We're going to have Cedric Burnside join us. You want to play a little bit as well, I assume, yeah. Mr. Trenton Ayers in the studio. We'll get into and I have to mention this, and we'll talk a little bit more about it, but it's been a while since you guys have been down here, but my hat's off to you on that Descendants of Hill Country record. That, to me, is still one of my favorite records in my personal rotation.
Thank you.
That is a hell of a record.
I still listen to it on the regular.
You know, the fact that it was nominated for a Grammy, that's great and all, but personally for me, I absolutely adore what you guys did on that. And it's just, that's so good.
The universe we're working with.
Yeah, it was. And it's a great story because you guys recorded it with 2 days, mixed it on the third, and it was out the door.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Yeah. We are privileged to have Mr. Trenton Ayers down here in the studio this evening, and we've had a great conversation so far. And Mr. Cedric Burnside has rolled on into the room, and we're going to make some noise.
We're going to make some oohs and ahs.
We're just going to sit here and just enjoy the show. I got to tell you, Cedric, your mic's warm now. I've been such a fan of yours for such a long time. It is always a pleasure to have you down here. And we were just talking before we went on the air that you guys made with your grandfather, made that Mr. Wizard record here. And how old were you when that? Do you remember?
I think I was about
13, 14, somewhere in there.
15.
15. Wow. Yeah, about 15, yeah. You're going to be 40 in August?
I'll be 40 in August, please.
God, I feel old.
Wow.
That's...
Yeah, that's it. Getting older, you know. Hey, I'm glad, man.
But, you know, blues has a long, long longevity to you. You know, you can go for, you know, generations, you know. You'll be cranking and rolling for, you know, another 40 years. I
hope.
Hey. We hope so.
Looking forward to it.
Well, on that, you two guys down here in the studio, this is special for us, and we're thrilled to have you guys in here. Let's make some let's make some sound. Let's make some music. What do you guys want to do?
All right. We'll do a couple.
Let a friend borrow some money several times. He never paid me back. Asked me again, I told him no. Said it shouldn't be like that. What about that $100 I gave you? Put food on your table. What about that 50 bucks you asked me for? For gas when you were neighbor. Said you had some money coming. I'll be the first person you come and see. Your money came, you went a lot of places. But you didn't come see me. I'm through with you. I wash my hands. I'm through with you. I'm through with you. I wash my hands. I'm through with you. Hey. Got a member of my family. We don't get along too good. He's still a wheelchair from a cripple, man. Boy, I swear he would. He always up to something. And I mean all the time. The stuff that may be up to. For to blow your mind. And who's walking in the rain? I let him soak. And for 20 below zero outside, I wouldn't give no coat. Cause I'm through with ya. I wash my hands. I'm through with ya. I'm through with ya. I wash my hands. I'm through with ya. Yes, I'm through. I'm through with ya. Yes, I'm through. I'm through with ya. I wash my hands. I'm through with ya. Yeah. I wash my hands. I'm through with ya. I wash my hands. I'm through with ya. Pack your damn bags. Leave all your damn keys. And call a taxi. Cause I ain't taking you no damn way. Cause I'm through with ya. I'm through with ya. I wash my hands. I'm through with ya. I wash my hands. I'm through with ya. Damn, bet your partner.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
Well, well, well.
Yeah. You know, I think there's a story that goes with that song that your grandfather used to tell about some there were some folks that you would
people you got to feed with a long handled spoon
and some with a shovel,
and
right?
And I prefer a shovel.
A shovel, yeah, that's what it is. And that's what that's about. Oh, yeah. 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 Yeah, I'm through with
Key
you.
Wreck. Key Wreck.
Key Wreck. Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, one more my ass. We're on till 11 o'clock. Yeah, you guys ain't going nowhere. Trent's strapping on what is that? Is this Schecter?
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. Oh, look at that. Pretty Schecter right there.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That matte black right over there. Ooh, that's... It just oozes.
Is that a bat going down the...
Yeah, this is called Batsy.
Yeah.
This guitar's name Batsy.
Ha! Batsy.
Got platinum bats in it.
I like it.
Uh-huh. It's nice.
Oh, people love it, yeah.
It's beautiful.
I'm digging it. I hadn't even heard the damn thing. Cedric, you doing well? Are you working much? Are you playing anywhere? Are they booking you some gigs?
I'm playing, man. You know, I've been off just a little bit this year.
Yeah.
Was well needed.
Oh, yeah. Get on the mic there a little bit. Yeah.
I've been getting into a little bit of modeling, believe it or not.
Modeling? Well, you know, okay.
For the Grammys, Mr. Billy Reid, he dressed me for the Grammys.
Yeah.
And so in the last couple years, I've been doing a few modeling shows with him.
Really?
So, yeah, I've been getting into a little bit of that. Blues man, you know,
maybe the world's first blues man.
I would say so. This is new to me. Yeah,
on the blues scene, on the modeling scene from Mississippi.
So you got what, a Calvin Klein deal? You're walking around out in your drawers. What the hell are you doing there?
Well, I ain't get that bad.
Have you been to like any Victoria's Secret shows? Man. I mean, what's up?
That's next, hopefully.
I mean, if you need a wingman or anything.
I probably won't be wearing the clothes at Victoria's Secret.
I can see you with the wings on, the angel wings.
So what?
So last time I saw you, you were in the studio.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you got to see something rather special, didn't you?
I did. And we got to see Cedric in the studio.
Hello. And your guitar was involved, I think.
Yeah, that's right. I've got some serious mojo on my resonator.
Bonafide.
Yeah.
It got bonafide, right. Really.
That's right.
It sounded great at the bonafide. That was awesome.
Thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, I love bonafide.
Hopefully.
We'll be doing that again. We'll be doing it again soon.
Yeah, we'll be doing it real soon. Yeah, we may have some news for you later.
Oh.
Yeah, maybe.
So what's the status of those recordings? Is that going to be an album soon? I mean,
I did another CD in the studio. I just happened to go to Brooklyn. I had a friend of mine.
Happened to go to Brooklyn.
Yeah. Well,
I was in the neighborhood.
I had a friend of mine's named Brian Jay. He played in a band called Pimps of Joytime.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to Brooklyn to do a YouTube station with him. He had a
YouTube station. Yeah.
And so he invited a bunch of his musician friends up, and I flew up to do it, and we just kind of stayed in the studio, you know. And you know, something great happened, man. We recorded 27 tracks.
Oh my gosh. Well, you guys recorded a lot here at Arden too in a short amount of time as well. Yeah.
And but it happened, man. I got a few of the tracks on my phone that you guys.
We might bust into that here in a little while too. Yeah. Oh yeah, it's a big night here at the old studio.
I'm telling you.
All right, boys, make some more noise. Oh yeah, sure. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Is that better?
Yeah.
daylight is here.
That's awesome.
All right.
Cedric Burnside, Trent Nares down here in the studio having some time. We're making some happy sounds down here as well. Cedric, are you making a record? Are you working on something?
Actually,
how are you gonna follow that Descendants of Hill Country records? What I'm getting at, dude.
Like 40 tracks in his bag.
Yeah, right? I know. I mean,
well, you know, every time I do a CD, I just want to keep doing music. You know, it's what I do. I want to dedicate my life to the studio and hopefully things keep getting better and better and better, you know, every time I go in.
What's it for you different from being in a studio as opposed to being in front of an audience? I mean, why not make a live record?
Oh, I would love to make a live record. I done made a couple with my big daddy.
With RL.
And we thought about doing a live record, you know.
I think you two should,
Hadn't came around to it yet.
I'm in the bag for it.
Awesome. Yeah.
We're a little biased here, actually.
A little bit, slightly.
Yeah. But, you know, the crowd, I love to interact with the crowd. And, you know, I love to see the look on their faces. I love to see
the moves they make.
And it just makes me feel, you know, really great to see them enjoy the music.
Yeah, Well, working the catwalk here of late has probably not hurt you, no.
Yeah, he loves to see the crowd of ladies.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not just all ladies, but,
yeah,
you know.
Okay, well, you know.
It is the modeling industry.
Now you walk on down. Hey.
Hey, look at this. Look at this. Hey, you know. Look at my junk.
In a trunk.
Oh my damn! Has your life changed any after the Grammy nomination? It broke my heart that you didn't win it. I gotta say that. But I know the nomination is worth a lot.
Oh yeah,
it really is. I mean, there's some weight to that, and both of you guys deserve it.
Yeah, it helped out a whole lot. You know, made us more busy.
Yeah,
made the money a little bit more better. You know, that's always great.
Sure.
You know, but yeah, it has changed. It has changed in a good way, and thank God for that. You know,
I think you started a trend now because you know RL Boyce came out and got nominated for a
traditional. Yeah,
so
that's right.
He got beat by the Rolling Stone.
But he got beat by Buddy Guy. Yeah. What you gonna do? I mean,
It's tough.
It's awesome just to be nominated. You know, just to be up there, you know, with those guys, with those names, you right there beside it.
Right.
That's a beautiful thing, you know.
Yeah. Were you there at the ceremony? Did you get Grammys, to go see it? And,
Yeah, we went there.
Did they catch you on camera going like, when they
announced
what a guy?
I don't know. Maybe.
That son of a bitch.
Hadn't showed it to me yet. Hadn't showed it to me yet, but they might have caught me.
But you know, you won the BMA that year too, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you got the BMA out of that too.
We won a couple.
Yeah,
we won a couple of them.
Wow. And of course, you know, it's not a horse race. It's not about who wins the trophy when they put an album out, but it is. It opens doors, right? I mean, like,
really?
All of a sudden, you got Billy Reid videos being shot. It's not about the
accolades to me, man. Really, the music is what feeds my soul. You know, it really is.
Not even the accolades. So like, you could probably give a TED talk now at this point about putting an album together.
And you know, we need to push that. We need to make that happen. I think you should do a TED talk on it.
Road from recording 2 days and then, you know, that's.
Well, that's that's pretty much what we do, right, Trent?
Yeah.
That takes a work ethic that a lot of people don't possess, so that's...
Well,
I'm going to tell you...
But my thought is that you are personified from going from one generation to the next. Between your grandfather and grandson, even skipping a generation.
Yeah.
And you have a large family and a very influential family in the blues.
Very musical family.
But you specifically have really reached into your grandfather's bag of tricks, you know, in a good way.
Yeah.
You know, well, and I know he would be incredibly proud of you, but what you're doing is, it's not just what was the blues then, but what it is now, you know? Well,
if I can just jump in here.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is part of the conversation, Mark will attest this, we had last week with Gary Burnside, which was... Okay. You know, he was talking about a lot of the crowds that they're playing for are younger. They're not playing for the older blues crowds at the festivals. Yeah. And we all know, let's be honest, as a musical genre, it kind of skews gray. And that's, I mean, believe me, I'm not criticizing.
Right.
You're talking about the 3% drummer power level?
Get on that mic over there. That one's, just pull it around there, yeah.
You talking about the 3% market power level or what?
No.
Uh-oh.
What is that?
Jeff's mind just got blown.
We're going to talk about that. What does that mean?
But no. Go ahead and finish what you were talking.
We were just talking about the fact that he's playing at the younger crowds, the college crowds down in Oxford, the younger kids in front of him, and that's what this genre needs. Is
right.
I'm going to out. So I'm not going to name names.
Go for it. Yeah.
So when we worked at the first year in the Bonafide Blues Festival, the ad agency I worked for, we did the marketing for it. And even in that room, like these creatives are young, or they're not young, they're my age, we're in their 40s, they're hip, but they're, the blues is about sadness, and it's, everybody's got some, and some of their perceptions, they don't know, because they're not blues fans.
So you're sitting there going, bullshit.
Bullshit, it's about not being sad, that's the whole point.
Right.
But it's also, like, there is a perception from people who aren't into the blues that think it's, we've all seen the Lamar Sorrento art, the real folksy art, and the image of the old black dude with a fedora on a porch, playing a resonator. But it's 2018, and this shit's got to move forward.
Yeah, you're right.
And it's artists like you and Gary that can carry that torch, that have legitimate,
Yeah, I think, man, it's all about where you come from, of course.
Right.
But you can take where you come from and put it into a beautiful thing, because I come from, a house of not having running water, not having a toilet, not having a bathtub. I had to haul water. Gary did too. But it wasn't like it made me sad or, made me want to write sad songs. It made me want to talk about it and tell people where I come from, but it also made me want to tell people, how strong it made me. It made me who I am today. It made me who I am, and I like to think that I'm a pretty good guy. And I don't take anything for granted.
Right.
So blues is what you make it. It's learning how to.
Is it about sadness? Is it about loss?
It can be, but
I mean, how would you do?
It can be about if you go out here and you driving down the road and you have a flat. That's blues too. It's just a different kind of blues.
It's a pain in the ass blues. Is what that is? Yeah.
It's just a different kind of blues. Well, it's a way to express yourself. To talk about what you went through.
Right.
And tell the people how you overcame it. That's what blues is about. It's telling people how you overcame things.
Is that what how you would define it? How would you define blues?
I would define it just like that. Learning how to talk about the hard times.
The things we all go through.
Everybody go through it.
But there's happy
everybody
blues.
Everybody have blues in the world. Rich people have the blues. Poor people have the blues.
I'd rather have rich people blues. Yeah. I'll be honest.
Yeah, really.
Well, a lot of rich people blow their brains out,
Yeah, that's true. So I know
I don't
a lot
want
of
that blues.
I know a lot of poor people that are much happier than a lot of rich people.
Exactly.
And I think that's there's a reality to that. And being able to communicate that. We talk about that one famous line in The Jerk. Steve Martin, where he goes, you know, where his
you mean, this is bigger than the phone book.
No. Where his brother comes in and he goes, hey, we're sitting on the front porch, we're playing some blues. Why don't you come join us?
Yeah.
He goes, no, I don't want to because it makes me so sad. And it's a running gag, you know, as part of it. But in reality, there's so much happiness to it too. I mean.
That's exactly
because this blues is not just being sad and you know your old lady run off on you or whatnot, but it can be about you know, hey, I did pretty well tonight, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, we've talked about this a lot.
Well, beautiful woman.
Yeah, beautiful woman.
A lot of the artists that we deal with, even on this show, like this show is Booze and Blues, right? But we've had a lot of soul in here. We've had some funk in here. But these artists.
I was just about to say you took it right out of my mouth.
Where are you going with this, Jeff?
Almost every CD you mentioned this a lot. Sure. Almost every album we're handed by artists these days, like new albums from blues artists that we've been playing on this program for years. Blues is a bucket that you put. It's like metal or a rock or like it's a category you put a CD into to sell it at a record store.
Yeah.
And we're seeing a lot of artists that are breaking that. We're getting blues records in here that might have a reggae track on it or a country track on it.
Yeah, they'll have 12 tracks and most of them are like Americana and they're like three blues tracks, like hardcore blues tracks on there.
But like, let's talk about genre. But
like what you're dabbling.
Whatever come out.
Yeah.
Whatever come out of you.
It's what just comes out of you. It's not. Yeah. Nobody wakes up one day and says, you know what? I really want to be like a classical composer.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Like you
five classical songs.
Yeah, you write what you write, man. Yeah. You play what you play.
Well, I can say this: music can come out of you all kind of ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can come out of you all kind of ways. It can come out of you just playing guitar, or it can come out of you playing a piano song solo, or you can do it with a band. It just come out of you all kinds of ways. You know, it's whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Talk about that piano talent you got,
man. I just peeled.
Piano too?
I
learned that you play guitar not like a year ago, man. And it just blew
my
mind.
I'm not a piano player. I just like instruments. So when I see instruments, I just
this dude get on them, talented. You know? He's very talented. I mean, I'm so grateful to play with him because he's always inspiring me to do something else. It's like...
Oh, man.
No, it's true.
I'm glad. Grab that acoustic on the wall over there, if you would, please. And we have an acoustic guitar. I want to put the
CD. I got a little bit of just about everything, just all walks of life, all parts of life. You know, pretty much. Oh, this the one right here.
It's the Weed guitar, of course. But and I think it's in standard. But you know, tune it to whatever you want to. But I have learned watching your career, watching you play not just drums and singing, you know, the traditional stuff and working with Trenton, of course, here. It's just very special. But watching you play guitar has been magical to me. Now I need to see you turn around and get it on the mic.
This is warming up.
I know, Ace.
All right.
There you go. I mean, you can put it in whatever you want to do to it, you know. But
don't go all Pete Townsend on it.
I want you home. for me, baby. Pray for me. Pray for me, baby. Say a prayer for me. Or if they don't come back, it's the death of me. It's the death of me.
Learn that from your granddaddy.
What's that?
Did you learn that style of play from him, or I mean,
I actually didn't learn from him. Like he didn't sit down and show me anything.
Right.
But I toured with him for so many years, and so you know even though I was on drums, I watched him like a hawk.
So you picked up a lot.
And so I picked up a lot of things, and of course me having a very musical family and having uncles that played. Mm-hmm. I would play with them around the house, and you know they would show me a few things, you know, to add with what I already, you know, knew. And I just, you know, guitar became my newfound love. You know,
that's beautiful.
Yeah.
It is absolutely beautiful. I mean, because on drums you're just magical as it is, but you know, taking a guitar and being able to do what you're doing. And I know that's in, I think it's in standard, but you play in standard and you play open and you do a bunch of stuff, man.
I'm actually going to switch it to open.
Yeah, go for it. I would imagine that learning to play guitar is more of just sort of just being exposed to it. It's not just somebody sitting down and say, hey, this is how you do the dead thumb. You can't teach dead thumb. You can't teach, picking getting into Spanish tunings and open tunings and all that other kind of stuff. It just kind of happens.
Well, as another brother in arms of Cedric once said, Lightning Malcolm,
yeah.
You know, you quit watching the hands and look at the ground and listen to the sound.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of that being able to switch back and forth from tunings is just being able to hear it.
Oh, sure. Play some classical music, Jeff.
He's just tuning.
Yeah, I know that. I mean, it's just warming up. I feel so inadequate.
Well,
like the guy that they bring to a party. I'll be over here with the dip.
Sometimes I can see the stress in your face, and that's why I step up to the plate and be brave. And that's why I step up to the plate and be
That's beautiful. Cedric Burnside, ladies and gentlemen. Have you seen that documentary that I hipped you to that's on Amazon, Monochrome, Black, White, and Blue?
I have not watched
it. Oh, you need to see it. Because what Cedric just played there is very reminiscent of that. And it talks about the deep history of the blues from, you know, from Africa through the Caribbean.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, how the slave trade was very, you know, important to the music genre and where it came from, and it's the, you know, the simple speech and the callback and all of that was happening, and he just displayed that right there for us, and it's brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
I love that, man.
It's wonderful. Yeah, take a look at that. Yeah.
You wanna play a couple of those?
Oh, is this? Oh, all
right.
That's not gonna be the actual picture, but that's.
If you're going to have a touch of the blues, you're going to have it with Mr. Cedric Burnside Trinera's down here.
Yeah.
Because you feel better.
I know we both kind of just told you how much we loved Descendants of Hill Country, but I literally, like, that album's up there with, like, Led Zeppelin 4 and the Beatles White Album.
Oh,
and
wow.
Like, no, seriously.
James Brown live at the Apollo.
There's no exaggeration there.
To, like, in rotation.
Airport is a... Airport is a song. Yeah.
Get a mic.
Yeah.
Oops, yeah,
we'll that's all right. No, you're good.
Watch the booze, man.
Watch the beer. All right,
hold on. I'm sorry, sir. We got to... Let me swing around this way.
All right, Trenton. Come on with it.
All right. Hold on. I got... So... You saying that album you said for you is up there with Led Zeppelin 4, which is a phenomenal album for me.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I can see that in your playing. I can hear that in your playing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Or even I'd go so far as to say two.
Okay. Ooh, okay. Yeah. All right, and some other great bands and all that. And then you said for you, what you were saying about the Airport.
Airport is a great track. It really is. Thank you. I don't know if that was your single. If you wanted to push, I didn't give a shit. You know, because when I was listening to the record, because that song just
give a shit.
It reaches. You know, there's a depth to it. It's
all good.
There's a lot of bite to that record, that song.
Well, this came out of the heart when I wrote that song. That was like
you wrote Airport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when I wrote that one, that was like coming from straight, seriously from my heart, because every time me and Cedric played that song, I kind of like be heartbroken all over again. It's like,
I know you the can feeling, say it. Yeah. I know the feeling. Yeah.
So maybe that's why it touches like that, because, you know, one thing I try to do when I do write lyrics, because Cedric, he's a lyricist, and I'm a composer. That's one thing about the project. Whatever he can write, I can compose, and whatever I can compose, he can write. I mean,
it's a two-way street.
But make a long story short, when I was composing that song, I was like, okay, I wanted to, you know, do this and do this, and Cedric had us like going ham to get that album together. You know, this is a genius. I mean, really is.
Well, you know what? That album is pure genius. And I tell you, the reason I compare it to a Led Zeppelin album is this is how I sold that album to friends who aren't blues fans. So, like, that are actively not blues fans.
I got a story for you too.
If I'd said, "Hey, it's a blues album, you should check it out," they would have never listened to it. But I got a list to it, and they loved it. And I tell you why. Modern album.
Yeah.
That I could listen to on, just leave it on loop, want to hear it over and over again, like a Led Zeppelin.
It doesn't tire.
It does not get tired at all. It does, you know.
I love to hear that.
Fifth time.
Well, Trent, let me ask you this. How did you get hooked up with Cedric? How did that happen? Was it a family thing, or was it
because the first time I kind of
with your dad or what?
Yeah, because the first time I met his family, it was two different times, because Cedric I met like in 93 or 92, because I played at Julia Drunk Joint for the first time, and we played all night long in a shuffle.
I actually met Trent when he was about 5 years old.
His
dad would come to our house parties.
Get on that.
Joe Ayers. He would come to the house parties. Joe Ayers and Junior Kimbrough and my big dad and Aria Burnt, they was really good friends. And my big daddy used to throw house parties every other weekend, you know, and Joe would be one of the ones come up there, and Trent sometimes would be in the car asleep when Joe pull up and wake up, and then he'll come and jam a little bit with us, and then be back sleep in the car, because, you know, was young back then.
Yeah.
But yeah, I met Trent when he was about 4 or 5 years old, first time.
How old were you at that time?
I was about 12, something like that, 12, 13.
Wow, so it started that young.
Yeah. I'm 8 years older than Trent.
Yeah.
That's nothing.
That's you know, that's how much older than me my older sister is.
Well, I'm sorry.
What? I can't stand that bitch. I'm kidding. Totally kidding. Love you, Wendy. I hope you're not listening.
You know, but there's that whole thing, you know, of the it's the feel of the music. You know?
Oh yeah, it's definitely the feel. Oh, yeah. You know, definitely the field.
I mean, you got little Joe Ayers over here. You got, you know, RL over here, and you know.
What, you know what? Here's the question I've been dying to ask since we got this show kicked off. And
sure.
And by the way, special thanks to our anonymous benevolent sponsors for the moonshine that's got me. I'll ask whatever at this point.
Uh-huh.
This Mississippi Rebel vest that you're wearing, uh-oh, with all the S's and dollar signs, first of all, that's baller as fuck.
Well, thank
you. Second of all, what's the story behind that vest?
All right, the story behind this vest is actually, when I was in Memphis, me and Cedric was playing at the Gibson Lounge. And
Back when that was open?
I know, right?
Right?
Yeah.
We bitch about the Gibson Lounge a lot because it's one of the best.
It's a great room, and they just effed that up. Yeah.
Damn. How long was that ago, Cedric?
That would have been early 2000s, probably.
Yeah, it's about 15 years ago.
Yeah. Hold on, Will. Hold on, man. Wasn't that place then? Well, somewhere in Memphis, I put it like that.
Okay.
Well, that works, yeah.
Somewhere, that's the net title of the next album right there.
Somewhere in Memphis, yeah.
So you guys were playing in Memphis.
Right, and walked into a store, and I saw the vest, and you know, I got it, and you know, this before all the pageants, and me and Cedric were playing in somewhere in Georgia, and a friend of ours, you know, she is a, you know,
she's a clothes designer.
Right, thank you. And she patched me in, so, you know, that's pretty much the story, and you know,
Savannah, Georgia.
Exactly. And, you know, me, myself, I love being a rebel because I am a rebel, you know. So, you know, Cedric, I love him because he can't share with me. I mean, he say something, I be like, okay. But somebody else be like, Trent, do this. I be like, man, no, fuck you. I'm going to do this way. No, they ain't mine.
That's my water. Oh, we got that track we got to play.
Yes, yeah, we do. We have a track.
But I think what Trenton just said is like he won't put up with shit from anybody else but you, Cedric.
That speaks a lot for Cedric, really. You know,
I love this man. I mean, he a genius. I mean, he opened up a lot of doors for me.
Like what he said. I try not to give him no shit, though. Unless he deserved it.
Unless he deserved it,
If he deserved it, I give him a little shit.
And that's about 95% of the time.
I like your style, Mr. Harris.
All right, well, tell us about this track. What's the story here?
Well,
mic, yeah, if you would, please.
This CD right here...
just whisper it in his ear.
It's more raw. I think it's even more raw than Descendants of Hill Country. Definitely different, but more of my style. I'm playing mostly all the guitar on here. It's just me and a drummer, Brian J. from Pimps of Joy Time. Just a bunch of songs that I wrote and, you know, things that I went through in my life. And
so these things are coming out, saw. Right?
Yeah, they around about the middle of April. Yeah, it'll be coming out. Yeah.
Right on. Well, that'll be big.
Yeah, we'll have you back down here, right?
Oh, definitely, man.
Yeah, we'll do the definitely. CD release
please,
down here.
Please, Mr. Burnside.
You already knew it.
Well, on that, yeah, you want to play the track? You're in control there. Oh, yeah.
Cedric Burnside has the con.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. Because what you do right now, you are live on the air with that
you
phone.
You're in charge right now. Rain.
And there it is.
Rolling.
Oh, you're... Well, I do.
You keep it going.
Well, no, dude, you let's are.
Let's play this one right here.
Oh, play it?
This CD is definitely different. But, you know, it's
on the air. You want to play it?
All right. This is the last one. To the club. I love to see the people. To the club. It's a beautiful thing. Thank you, see. And there's no other place I'd rather be. So get your groove on. And this what I like. So get your groove on. And this what I like. When we play, they get a little ha-ha. But I bet you that we won't stop. I think the blues keep me alive. And I'm gonna play until I die.
So that was those are both unreleased tracks, by the way.
Yeah, that's
you just heard that. Just heard that for the first time.
Yeah, do not steal that.
Yeah.
There will be attorneys involved.
You know what? Yeah. If you're actually listening to this broadcast and you recorded that and you want to put it out as your own material, please go ahead and do so because we need the publicity.
Absolutely.
All of us here.
We'll take that. Yeah.
Yeah, we will go to court. We'll get some big name. It'll be like the OJ.
Yeah, it'll be huge. Yeah, it'll be massive.
It'll be huge.
Yeah. Or just stop stealing music.
Or that.
You idiots.
All right, so those two tracks, were those both from the Arden sessions or the New York sessions?
New York. Yeah, New York
sessions. What studio in New York?
Actually, it was Brian J's studio. He had a studio inside his apartment.
Okay.
And that's what we did to record there.
So I saw you guys. It's been about a year, right? When was that? February of last year.
It was about
right before I disappeared off the face of the
planet. There's that.
What? Where was I?
Where were you playing it?
Oh. We were just putting some tracks off.
No, it was here. No. Yeah.
Oh, here.
But you guys were hanging out at Arden, and I met Brian J for the first time, and he's like you in that he can play anything. You guys were just like, I'm done playing guitar, I'm tapping out, and he would play guitar for a little while. You play some drums. And,
great musician, man.
Yeah,
he's a great musician. And you know Brian J, he played in a band called Pimps of Joy Time.
Right.
And
I've listened to them.
Yeah,
they're amazing. They're great.
Yeah, they are, man. They travel pretty good. They travel pretty a whole lot.
Yeah,
you know, actually. But yeah, I met Brian J about 3 years ago in New Orleans. He came to one of my shows and he told me that he had been, you know, following us for a while. You know,
right.
Me and my big daddy and Junior Kimbrough back in the day. But yeah, we talked about connecting and doing some things and. That's when he first told me, he was like, man, I got this YouTube, you know, station that I do, and I invite people to, you know, some of my musician friends to come up
you know, called Jamming with Jay and jam with me a little
bit. Right. I've seen some of those videos. Yeah. It's amazing.
And so I flew up to do that.
It really is.
And while we was in the studio, you know, it didn't take but like 4 minutes to do the Jamming with Jay thing. And after that, you know, I was like, man, might as well just go ahead and keep playing. We was in the studio.
Right. You know? Yeah. Right. Make hay while the sun shines.
Yep. Yeah. Came up with 27 tracks, man, 2 days. And when we played it back, we both were looking at each other like, what? Like, it sounded
so that
so
was
good,
before the Arden, you know? Sessions? Or?
Yeah, that was before the Arden
Sessions. So what happens with the Arden Sessions? Is that...
Well, actually, you know, we got one of the tracks from Arden.
Yeah.
It just, it turned out that, you know, we went back into Brian J. Studio. And we kind of just used the tracks that was there.
Right.
And just kind of, you know...
Refine what you had. Yeah, I feel
and, that. But we ended up using one of the tracks from Arctic. Ain't Gonna Take No Mess. Yeah.
I was there for that one. That's the one you guys came up with on the fly. Yeah, that was the magic right there. I saw this shit happen.
Right, yeah, you were there. Yeah, you were right in the midst of it.
We did Blues and Blues like 5 days later. I watched these two dudes just totally like lay some shit down and go, oh shit, we just made a song. Like, yeah, but that
really,
that's really, that's how it happened. Yeah,
I was just playing, man, like, ain't gonna take no mess, you know, just tripping in the studio. He was like, man, you should write something to that. It's like, man, I'm just playing, just bullshitting, you know. But it turned into a song.
I'm glad
that's
it,
the one though. That makes sense. The closest to that magic I've ever seen in the studio is the magic that I've experienced myself in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
You've all never heard that, so you can attest to what I'm talking about. It happens, but it's rare.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah, it's
very rare.
It's a special thing.
Have to thank God for it. And the universe, you know?
Yeah.
Well, hell.
So what's next? Where are you playing at next? Where you got? What's next for the project?
We off to Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania?
On the 8th.
Pittsburgh?
They're doing their Eagles victory tour.
No.
man, I was just looking for the name of Pennsylvania where we was going to. But we go to Pennsylvania, Virginia, and then I go to Austin, Texas.
Oh, yeah.
South by Southwest.
Right.
Yeah.
For about a week there. My brain is just like fog, man. I'm just all over the place.
Well, there's a lot of stuff going
on.
Have
you played Austin a lot? Have you?
I have played before.
Where do you play when you're there?
We did Antone's a couple times.
You know Antone's.
I love Antone's. The Continental Club, we played there a couple times.
Oh, yeah. I saw Nika Chambers there back right before Christmas.
I love the Continental Club, man.
So when are you there this year?
Actually, next week. I do a week there for South by Southwest from the 13th to the 17th.
All right, shut me down if we can't talk about this on air, but are they paying you for this? Or I've always heard about South by that it's,
you know, well,
it's an exposure thing and they want you to kind of come and they're not going to throw any money at you.
You know, like under the table, you get a little money.
Right.
A little something.
The thing is, you have to pay to play.
You
got to
get yourself there. You got to,
You know, you have to actually pay to enter the, you know, South by Southwest.
And I've heard that.
But it's great exposure because South by Southwest is kind of based off of great booking agents, you know, great record companies.
Yeah, they're there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you get good rep there. You know, you can get great record deals and all that type of stuff. So. Well,
coming in there with a Grammy nomination kind of sitting on your shoulder like a pirate's
parrot. It didn't hurt.
That's kind of what it's for, you know.
Yeah.
But,
that'll be big. Yeah, that'll be huge.
Yes. Yeah. One of the biggest in the world.
Man, I hope you are ready to sit in the car. Because Austin traffic is shitty enough without something going on.
Been there, done that. Yeah.
Man, just bring a good audio book. Just... whatever you gotta do to get through it.
I know.
Put a guitar in your lap, you know.
Yeah, I'll probably be driving most of the time myself. So.
Oh, you're driving yourself?
Yeah, I'm driving.
Wow.
Yep.
11 hours. Been there, done it last weekend.
Yeah. I did it right around Christmas.
Yeah.
Yep, I know it.
Yeah.
Kind of nuts.
So are you playing every night during South By? Have you got gigs lined up, or
just
how does that work?
Just about every night. Yeah, just about it. I think one night I'm off, but yeah, just about every night.
You doing it solo? You dragging this nights. Guy with you?
I'm doing it solo. Doing the actually, I didn't tell you guys. I forgot to. I don't know why I forgot this. I signed a record deal with Sing-A-Lot Records about 4 months ago.
Yeah, Sing-A-Lot. Yeah.
And so that's what this CD is going to come out on Sing-A-Lot Records in the middle of May.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
that's real good.
I'm gonna be the idiot here. What is Sing-A-Lot Records?
They're a label.
No shit, Sherlock.
Out of Florence, Alabama.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Just see?
I just set it up and you knock it down. That's how it works. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, that's a big deal for you. That's a big step for you because you've always been an independent artist. So this.
Yeah. So this South by Southwest gig was booked through them.
Nice.
It's a showcase. Me and about five or six more other artists that they signed.
Man. I go to Austin a lot for work. I wish I could be there that week. There's no way they're gonna let me go for Southwest.
We'll get crunk.
I can go any other week when it's, you know, not that, but I would love to.
So I have this expense report. We're going to make this happen. And,
look, that $100 of the shots was for Cedric Burnside. That's all that was.
Yeah, it was just tequila.
Yeah, boy. Thank God, boy.
Cedric, thank you for being a part of all this.
Thank you guys for having me, man. Once again.
God damn, anytime. You know, this is your room. You know, we built this room for guys like you. You know that.
Again, no bullshit.
You and Trenton.
Yeah, the two of you guys literally dropped the best album I've heard in at least a decade. With the Sons of Hill Country.
Glad to
don't stop.
Yeah.
Don't stop. God damn it, don't stop.
And you know what? Without trying to blow smoke up your ass, like, I don't give that away lightly. Rick and I do this all the time. We get handed a lot of CDs.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all good to some degree. But it's very rare that one ends up in my dashboard in the CD player. Like, I just don't take it out. I mean... You know,
and that's what I like.
And that's your record.
Yeah. Well, I'll turn it off to listen to my iPhone or some shit, but that's the CD that's there.
Sure.
Yeah. And I haven't had an album like that to appreciate that much.
Glad to get
in a long, long, long time.
You are doing Yeoman's work. You guys have had, you know, you got your shit together. It sounds good. Keep doing it.
Man.
Do not stop.
We won't. That's what we do.
Do not stop.
That's who I am. I'm blues. I'm real country blues, man.
Yeah, you are.
No, you're not. You're a model. You can't possibly be the blues and be a model. All right, you're gonna have to choose, Cedric.
Well, he's walking out there with tighty whities and you know,
three nipples on my jock.
Marblues. I'm Marblues.
Well, he's wearing a bow tie with his, you know, with his jockeys.
He is going to start the glam blues movement. He's going to be the David Bowie of the blues.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, you know.
With some cornbread, some beans.
Like he's wearing Versace, but he's eating some collard greens.
It's cornbread and buttermilk. That's, you know.
Man, you said it.
Yeah,
man.
That's what I did.
You said it, man.
Buttermilk and this is where it's all at. Just walking. It's awesome. It's awesome. Cedric, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Trenton, thank you, buddy.
Man,
Trent, thank you.
This is the first time I've gotten to meet you. I've wanted to for a long time. Like, thank you.
The Broom Closet is your one-stop shop for all of your metaphysical supplies and gifts. We stock candles, herbs, gemstones, incense, salt lamps, and more. We also host monthly rituals and events for those looking to get together with like-minded people. And the Broom Closet is the only place you can get your cards read by me, Reverend Emily. I'm an ordained Wiccan minister and Reiki master. Book your next tarot reading and see what's in the cards for you. Discover conscious living and being connected to an awesome community. The Broom Closet Metaphysical Shop is located in downtown Memphis, or visit our online store at thebroomclosetmemphis.com. The Broom Closet, where magic begins.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
Daddy Mac is in the room
right
now, and the band, and we've been listening to some great stuff tonight. We've got a bunch more to get through tonight as well. We played off of one of your recordings there, Mac, Como, which I know is Como's a great little town down there in the. Right there in the middle of it.
Oh, yeah, that's where I was born and raised.
Was it really? Is it your hometown?
Yeah. I was born and raised in Como, Mississippi.
I like that it has such a neat little music history in and of itself for as little of a town that it is.
Yeah, born and raised, come on, Mississippi. I did a lot of chopping, cotton, plant, picking cotton.
Oh, God. It's like God's practical joke that plant is not much more than about 3 or 4 feet tall, you know.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Dee-dee-dee, there you go. That's what's coming up next time here on the program. We appreciate you for being a part of this thing, and I know we've got listeners from all over the place. And please share the show if you like what you heard. Say something nice about it if you would, and you know, tell everybody that you think we might be interested in it, because that's just how things roll around here. You know what I mean? So yeah, if you get it from iTunes, if you would please rate the show and give us a little comment or say something nice if you'd like, or not. You know, you can do what you'd like. Nevertheless, thank you so very much for being a part of what From Radioland is about. So on that, I've got to go. I got to head on down to the studio and get back to work as it goes. So thank you again for your time. We'll see you next time. In the meantime, take care of yourselves and take care of one another. And for God's sake, stop shooting each other. All right. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.